We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on, bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning. Welcome to Trollo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game, Thursday edition. We're stacked, as always. Jim Barnett, 1 hour from now. Clyde Drexler at 8 o'clock. Greg Papa at 8:30. Brad Evans with all your fantasy questions at 9:10. Actually, he's probably got your fantasy answers. You will supply the questions. Today, we want to talk about Fallout. Not Chernobyl. Not the video game. But I think most of you know the direction I'm heading here. Fallout. From yesterday's big golf match between Lowe and Dibs.
Major fallout.
What ended up happening? I didn't ask this morning specifically because I wanted to save it for the opening. Let's call it 45 seconds because we're not going to do too much on this.
Exactly. Don't even call it 45 seconds. I didn't show up. I didn't play. So it was just
really?
I shot like pretty like 110, 120.
Quite a bit of just, talk though yesterday morning leading into the match.
Yeah, a lot was going on. I had a lot yesterday. It was a busy day for me. I was trying to close one of the estates and different things would happen. So head attorney, it was about, you know, $1,000 worth of phone calls on the court that was really, really on the course. So I was
doing that.
It's always fun to play with that guy.
It was really worst.
I know, but it was a bad situation. So it wasn't that, but I had to take the call. It was really, really, it was, you know.
You're low, Neil. You don't have to do anything. You choose to do those things.
Yeah. So it was a bad day, Joe.
We could talk about the real story now if you're ready. And put the excuses aside about phone calls and about not his finest hour.
This was our finest hour. This was the finest hour in the history of the Oakland Raiders.
It was not your finest hour.
Did you even play well? Did you need to play
well? I
played
okay. We played from the tips, which playing with him and Kalena Azubuki and shout out Casey the Cop, OPD. These guys are massive guys. They're hitting bombs from the tips. And I'm just, you know, hunting and pecking, slapping and tickling my way around. 91, not terrible, but the big fella, he did not bring his A game, nor was his B game to be found, and his C game, I think, was in the car.
Did Kalena beat him?
In fact, Kalena did beat him.
That's real.
Kalena just started playing.
That's real.
It was really bad, Joe, yesterday.
It sounds like it.
It was really bad.
I think I might want to pivot to this story for the remainder of the show. Yeah, how do you feel today?
You know what? I feel great because of the fact
that... You questioning those Pro Bowls?
No, you know why I feel great? Because I didn't play. If I would have been competing, I'd have been like, all right, cool.
If it had mattered, right. It mattered in the morning before you went out when you were doing all that talking
And it mattered at the turn when he had a two-stroke lead over Buki.
And four-point lead, and then that's when the phone rang.
I see.
Was it not? Why don't you keep it real? Keep it 100 then. If you're going to be honest, be honest. Anyhow, we're going to move on to this.
We are going to move on.
Thank you, Joe.
Pathetic is the one word I would use to describe that.
Put it this way.
Too much talk.
Mark this down. This will never happen again. You can come out there, bet it, lock it up.
I'm not. Why would I bother locking that up?
Joe,
I know that's not true.
You know what? It's morning time.
Did we lock something up yesterday regarding him and Buki?
You didn't want to get in it.
How about a good old-fashioned funeral for all that trash talk yesterday?
If you play that, I'll come. I'll meet
you. You don't know anything about it.
Dearly beloved.
Since you were out there, why don't you handle the honors?
And it really, Joe, started on the first tee when Lowe begged for strokes. And I gave him strokes, three aside. But
begged for strokes.
It turned out the three aside was not going to be enough for young Lowe Neal. And, you know, Kalena Azubuki, he hung in there. He was spraying it.
He's a bum.
He stayed with it. And you know what, Lowe? All that talk, big talker, Betty Crocker, I'm afraid your golf game must.
Rest in peace.
Yo, tough way to start the day.
Joe, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Stand over the ball. 15 practice swings.
Who's this?
Kalena. I was falling asleep in the car. 2 minutes to friggin' even hit a ball.
Is that true?
The backup, the close was so backed up.
He's got a Kevin Na approach to the game.
If I had a dollar for every waggle, I would have called in sick today.
He's new. He's trying to get it. You know, he started playing what last year? Give him a break.
Couple years ago.
You've been playing forever. You've been in all these celebrity tournaments for years. Apparently, just cashing in on the likes of LaDainian Tomlinson and Mike Allstott and all these people who fly you in for these events. Give you these free rounds of golf so that.
Joe, man, this is
I'm
too
disappointed.
Early.
This I is wanted you to early. Come in with the story. You did all that talk. I wanted you to back it up. All right, more on this throughout the entire course of the program, leading all the way up to Steinmetz vs. Guru. We may even hang around and discuss this with Steinmetz vs. Guru as well. But, Fallout is the story of the day as we approach day two of Kevin Durant versus Draymond Green. Yet this day has a twist. The Warriors are in Houston tonight, and for the first time all season, they find themselves in the underdog position. They are 2.5-point underdogs against the Rockets. The Rockets' last time out was a success. They went to Denver two nights ago, and they won by 10, if memory serves me correctly, 109-99. That's a two-game winning streak for Houston. They got their own problems, but tonight, this isn't about a rematch of the Western Conference Finals. We are so far removed from that now, that's not even a blip on the headline radar. Houston trying to figure out what to do post-Carmelo Anthony. The Warriors trying to figure out, is this a blip on their radar, or is this the beginning of the end? Steph Curry makes the trip to Texas for the three-game swing with the club, but will not play. He's there as peacemaker. What are we expecting tonight?
We're expecting some serious peacemaking to go on, and hopefully it happened on the plane. And when the ball goes up, you're expecting that Draymond Green and Kevin Durant can do what they've done so beautifully for two-plus seasons, which is mesh, gel, and win. Because ultimately, that is what it's all about. You had 24 hours, 48 hours to let this thing simmer. Now you have a game tonight, and hopefully both guys can realize what's best for everyone, which is play together and win.
What are you thinking?
I think that you'll see this team come together and they'll play together, like Dib said. And the way how do you quiet the noise? How do you quiet the media? What's the narrative? If they lose, oh, Draymond and KD didn't get along. You saw it in the basketball game tonight. Was that in the back of your mind? Guys, when you were out there on the court, were you thinking KD's going to give you the ball? Draymond, did you saw him a couple times over in the corner? Why didn't you pass to him? If they don't get this thing right, that's what will happen every single time. And people don't even understand. Maybe the play wasn't to go to KD or what have you. And people are going to try to continue to make this an issue. So the way that they quiet the noise and quiet this narrative, you do need to go out here and you need to win. And you need to play well for people can start saying it's behind them.
All right, take me through this. Kevin Durant's brother, Tony Durant, on Instagram yesterday. Not posting pictures, but posting messages. Message number one, quote, "True colors ain't hard to see when someone is mad. It's so much more clear now, LOL. Instagram message number two from Tony Durant, Kevin Durant's brother. "Instead of competing with what's already written, just follow along before the greatness is done, rubbing off on you, and people see you for what you really are." Now, am I to believe that either one of these is meant for anyone but Draymond Green?
No, those are absolutely designed for Draymond, and that's either Tony Durant again going rogue away from Kevin Durant or acting at the behest of Kevin Durant. Either way, it's a terrible look to have a family member coming out and intimating that, what, Draymond Green can only win because KD's greatness is rubbing off on him? Give me a break, Tony. They won before KD was here, so you can't make that determination at Andre Mongreen.
What do you make of this one? The last time he slid into those Instagram comments, everyone ran wild. Then there was the, you know, it meant this, stop making a big deal out of it. Now, you know, it's happened before. So it's not as if you posting this, there wasn't some checks and balance system. Your mind thought at some point before hitting send, should I send this? You decided to go through with it. So what do I make of this? Do I overreact or do I just let it slide?
I had incidents happen to me a couple of years ago. My sister, you know, trying to be friends with the wife, and she's calling her and telling her different things. And I said, told the wife, I said, you can move in with her. I said, have a good life. If that's what you want, if that's a life you choose, go ahead.
This is your sister calling your wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you get, you know, just being messy, just doing things that shouldn't be doing. I'm like, you know what? Hey, you want to go live with her? You guys can have a nice life. That's fine with me.
I'll see you at Thanksgiving.
Exactly. And those are the same things that sometimes people sometimes poke their nose and meddling in certain things where they shouldn't be. And sometimes, and that's where a guy, you know, it can cause problems. It can cause problems in a relationship. It can cause problems in locker rooms. It can cause problems. You see sometimes guys say certain things and family members get involved in certain things where they shouldn't be. And it can destroy certain things. And this is a situation where it's already enough tension. Now he's going to read that. Draymond boys see what he's saying. And now you can do this. This is something that should be kept in house now. We're talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. Your brother's, you know, sent out an Instagram or a tweet saying those kind of nonsense stuff. And what does it do? It's just adding fuel to the fire. So it's I don't like it.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the floor. We didn't take any calls on this yesterday, but today the floor is yours if you want to get involved. The number is 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Everything is on the table. If you can't hit us on the phones, hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. How highly rated will this game be tonight? What do you expect from Steve Kerr? Does Steph Curry have the ability to make peace? All that coming up next here on Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Tensions are running high in the Warriors locker room. Tonight, Draymond returns to the court as KD and the Warriors face James Harden and the Rockets.
Off the screen, Durant for three. He's got it left side. Draymond Green with that high screen.
Coverage starts at 3:30. Tip off at 5. The only place to hear Warriors basketball. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
There we go. Phone lines are lit. 888-957-9570. What are you expecting tonight in Houston? After all, it's the first time this season the Warriors are listed as an underdog. Don't think for one second the perceived dysfunction hasn't been baked in that line. It's not as if the Rockets have been playing well. They're not even a playoff team right now. The number's 888-957-9570. Steph Curry, before we go to the phones, Steph Curry jumps on the plane, travels with the team for the three-game Texas swing at Houston tonight, 5 p.m. tip time. At Dallas Saturday, at the Spurs Sunday. He's not going to play. He's already been ruled out for all three games, yet he makes the trip anyway. That probably speaks to the gravity of this situation, does it not?
Thank you, Obama. I think that he's going to play.
How does that relate to anything?
Because he's going to play that role. He's going to reach across
the aisle. He's going to be Obama.
He's going to reach across the aisle.
And thanks, Obama.
Thank you. Exactly. He's going to reach across to these two and try to bring them together. And that's what you have. You have a peacemaker in Steph, and you have a guy that's going to reach out and try to, you know, get this to die down. Try to get these two guys to understand they got bigger fish to fry, and that is winning a championship, the ultimate goal. And Steph is going to have to be there, and I really believe that's why he's on this plane trip, and I think that management has talked to him. I think that Kerr has talked to him. Steph, this is your team. You know, you got to get this thing under control. I can do so much. I can talk to him. I've had my conversation, but you need to bring these guys together. Steph can, like, come on, guys, let's go to dinner, sit down with both those guys, and he can be that mediator. I really believe that.
You can't tell me that this is the ideal way to treat an injury of this sort, to take four flights, to sleep in three different hotel rooms over the course of 5 days, and fly all the way back. So
to babysit, essentially.
Basically, yes. To sit between two guys and say, KD, Draymond says, pass the salt. You tell KD, I'm not done with the salt yet. KD, he's not done with the salt yet. Well, you tell Draymond to pass the pepper then. Hey, Draymond, I heard him. I'm right next to you.
Right. But, tells you, but
doesn't that you know, that's but basically but what we're dealing
but
with,
you're right?
But
doesn't that tell
I
you,
hope not.
But don't you tell you, doesn't that tell you how serious this issue could be?
Yes, it's very serious.
For you to take your MVP and arguably the greatest shooter.
Well, do you think they asked him to do it, or do you think he just did it on his own? I got a feeling he was probably like, you know what, looks at the wife and says, I would have loved to have spent a few extra days with the newborn, but I got to go. Apparently, there's trouble in paradise.
Lo, tell Joe that I think that that's the reason why he actually went on the trip. I'm not talking to Joe right now, so I need you to be my Steph
Joe,
Curry.
You heard what he said? I mean, golly, he has to go in and take care of this, Joe.
Seriously, how childish is all of this that you have to send the two-time MVP who's injured on a road trip in order to ostensibly mediate the situation between two stars?
Do you think, though, that he made the decision on his own? I'm sure the organization would have reached out and asked, but he strikes me as the type of guy that doesn't need a phone call and, hey, you know, if it's not too big of an ask, he strikes me as the type of guy that's like, this is a mess. This is where I have to be.
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, that's why I put on one of those notes last night is, does Steve Kerr need to discipline, to rule, to do better job in certain situations? I think so. I think that now you have a head coach. I understand he's a philosopher. I understand he lets guys be who they are. But at certain situations, sometimes things take drastic measures and you have to step in and intervene and do certain things that sometimes you don't want to do. And that means sacrificing wins to get this team back on the same, get them on the same page. There's exercises you can do, sitting guys, rotating different things, keeping guys away, doing other things to try to speak life in other guys. And I think this is a very, very delicate team right now. It is a very delicate team. And the fact that you have some, you know, that like KD, some like Draymond, I mean, there's a huge, it's a huge divide, even in fans. You have a lot of fans for KD. A majority of the fans are, you know, Draymond. He's been here longer.
Do you think fans are taking sides?
Without a doubt.
You can't help but take sides.
You can't help it.
And really?
Fans are taking sides. Players are taking sides. And the main thing, even though fans are, but the main focus, the sides in that locker room. How are those men, what side, and where they're at in this whole thing? Because without a doubt, Joe, fans are taking
sides. Well, to me, the fascinating part is KD within the team dynamic, because he's always been a little bit of an outsider from his time in OKC. It wasn't a real good team concept. And even here, at times, he goes into ISO ball, and it doesn't feel like he's totally in the flow with his Warrior teammates. So for me, it's almost like the team Warriors versus team KD. It's almost everybody against KD, because KD has a hard time, it seems, being a part of the group dynamic.
All right, let's open it up to the phones. Everything's on the table here. We didn't take any calls yesterday. The takes were just, they're flowing like Niagara. There's nothing we could do about it. But today is where we'd like to bring you into the conversation. The billions deserve to have a voice. Keith in San Francisco is where we will start. Keith, thank you for the phone call. What do you make of this situation?
Thank you guys for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it. Fire away, buddy.
So my issue is it's one game that happens very early in the season in November. I don't understand why Durant got so upset over it. It just kind of baffles me a little bit.
All right, fair point. Let's get into that for a second. We had discussed yesterday whether or not the reaction that took place on the court was something that boiled up from tension that we didn't see beneath the surface. Or if it's like Keith's saying, they're playing basketball, everything's fine, and Durant overreacts to a play on the court. Dibs, you are of the belief that there had been problems that led to that play. Lo, you're of the belief that the play was the play and the problems came after that. Isaiah Thomas was on ESPN yesterday. Zeke, the original Isaiah Thomas, he laid out a great case. And it's, if you're on KD's side here, it doesn't sound good for KD. Basically, it's, why are you clapping for the ball? There's 5 seconds left. Get down the court. And after that play goes awry, you're a two-time finals MVP. You're a league MVP. You have won championships, and you're trying to win a game in overtime in Los Angeles. Why are you telling someone else on the team that made a mistake, why aren't you passing me the ball, pass me the ball? That, there's no time for that. You should be focusing on trying to win. I thought he laid it out quite well, but Keith makes an interesting point. Did Durant overreact there? It's one game in November.
I think so. I think when you look at it, guys don't want to be showed up. And Cade, when you saw what happened to Draymond, and that's why I said he went to the middle of the court, he was trying to do the right thing. Unfortunately, the ball got away from him, and the ball dribbled out, and he turned the ball over. People have to realize he felt horrible. Walking to that sideline, walking to the bench, he felt horrible. Yeah, everyone, you saw hands out. They're still giving five. Hey, let's go. We got to get in overtime now. KD comes up and, like, man, pounding his chest. I should have had the ball. Why didn't you give me the ball? He already messed up. That's something that could have happened after the game. Hey, look, next time something happened like this, coach can talk about it. Hey, give the ball to this guy. Do whatever. But in that moment, getting ready to get in overtime, what could that have done? By me saying, if you messed up, Joe, and I said, man, you should have gave it to me, and I'm pounding my chest, and we get ready to go. That can't help.
It's not going to help.
It's not going to change. It's not going to change the outcome that we just had.
And we saw the same thing with Akello Witherspoon in the Niner game, where he throws his hands up when he doesn't get safety help. It doesn't matter. The play's over. You didn't get help. You got burned. They scored. We're on to Cincinnati.
And what did the head coach say? The head coach said, don't throw your hands up.
Look, right. You don't want that on tape.
You don't want that on tape. And what happened? You got that on tape. KD and Draymond is on tape because of the fact he did that. And when he did that, you showed this guy up, and when Witherspoon threw his hands up, he showed up to safety. Everyone knew what happened. We all knew what happened. Everyone seen Draymond fall down. Everyone knew it. And so by you showing him up, as a man, you're going to respond. But now I do believe this. It was in his heart. That was in Draymond's heart. What came out the words afterwards
quit being of this and this and this. This isn't about you far, right?
Way too far. Durant should have said it to him, but at the same time, you got to control yourself as well.
Absolutely.
You have gone over the line time and time again.
Absolutely.
The whole, well, he takes it right up into the line and then tries to not go over. We don't want him going over. Well, yeah, it happens. We've seen it in the playoffs. We saw it or heard about it with Kerr in the OKC locker room in 2016. Here's what we're going to do. Phone lines are packed. You guys are all going to get on the show today. You're all going to get on the show.
Billion people, Joe?
Mark Spears from ESPN has a great piece out this morning on this situation. Talk to players in the locker room about the scenario and what's next. He's going to join us from the airport at 6:33 in about 7 minutes. Then it will be on to your calls here on 95.7 The Game.
The Game of the Year is on Monday night. And you can hear it only on 95.7 The Game. The 9-1 Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes to the pylon.
Against the 9-1 Rams.
Todd Gurley dives. Touchdown.
It's Monday Night Football.
Let's go.
Kickoff at 5 p.m. only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Make no mistake about it. Good music here, by the way. Wow, caught me off guard. Make no mistake about it, every action and reaction in tonight's first quarter between the Warriors and the Rockets in Houston, tip time, 5 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, everything is going to be scrutinized. Now, you come out, you're slapping hands, hugging, you make it look good, get involved early, get up on the Rockets, people will react, and then people will move on. But if there's even a perceived slight early, you know how our society does it. People are going to go nuts. Now, a programming note. Mark Spears from ESPN, he's at the airport right now. He's getting ready to travel to Houston. Great piece out this morning on the Warriors situation. Talked to some players behind the scenes. Has their thoughts on what they believe will transpire tonight in Houston. He's going to join us at 6:45. Was scheduled to join us now. Has to get through security. We all know how that can be.
Right.
6:45 is when he will join us.
Yeah, I would love to see these guys, Draymond and KD, I'd love to see them hug and kiss. I really, on a national TV.
On the lips?
Like Magic and Isaiah?
Yeah.
All over again?
Why not? You know what? I could
do without that.
You know, just a little hug and a little, look, not a big, just let's look, and just be on with it.
How about just some dap and some good, hard basketball?
No.
How about beat the Rockets?
No, hug. Hug.
You'd rather see some kisses.
Absolutely. It's not bad. I don't know
why I expected anything different.
I do have a theory about all this and why the fine and some of the stuff took place, Joe. And
you do you?
I really do. And I follow me on this and tell me you guys think if I'm out of bounds or not. Who's the most connected player that works with management, front office, on that team? Who's a guy that everyone talks about how he knows the cap? He's in the front office.
Well, Draymond Green.
He wants to be a scout. Talking about him being a GM, all those different things. Draymond Green. So you got to realize, if the players know that collectively, and if Draymond's connected to the front office, you don't think he's had messages? You don't think that front office, he goes up and say, this guy, I feel this about this guy. So he's kind of that heartbeat, the glue. So he informs certain things. So when they made this suspension for Draymond, they know KD knows who's connected in that front office. KD knows who's the guy in that locker room who talks about bringing in free agents. Who's the guy who's out there?
The guy who texts Bob Myers directly when he wants something done, right?
Absolutely.
All right. It's
Draymond Green. So when you think about it like that, you're saying, okay, so once that happened, these front office said, okay, KD's like, I know what Draymond feels about me. I hear what's going on. So this front office, do they feel the same way because he's saying that? Do they think I'm soft? Do I think this? So the front office had to be in a position to say, he probably knows how we feel. Well, they know that Dre's talking to us. We're going to have to make this harsh decision, suspend this guy without pay, those things. So I think that the front office was in a tough situation as well.
So the theory is that the front office agrees with Draymond on Kevin Durant? They believe he's leaving as well?
I think that the front office understands who he is. I think there's been times where Draymond has probably said, hey, man, I know the guy's a hell of a talent, but man, come on, Bob. This dude's kind of soft.
So the theory you're working with here is that Draymond's behind the scenes. He's basically a player/assistant general manager. He's behind the scenes. He's talking to everyone about everything. He probably helps some players on the court with, here's what they're thinking up there about money. And then he's behind the scenes talking to Bob about, here's what you're dealing with on the court, here's what it's worth, all that. That's what you're suggesting.
Right, okay. And so if he makes those accusations about KD and calls him out on the court, KD understands who Draymond is.
So maybe Draymond's saying that behind closed doors.
Right.
That actually makes this worse than it originally appeared.
As far as keeping Kevin Durant in particular, because
as far as everything. So now he's concerned that behind the scenes, the front office thinks this way about him as well? You hear what this guy's saying?
But think about that.
I hear what he's saying.
He's talking about everyone kissing each other, and he's saying all this other conspiracy nonsense.
I think that there is some merit to what he's saying, but at the end of the day, if push comes to shove and this season ends and they win a title, or even if they don't win a title and they look at their options, they're still going to give Kevin Durant a max offer.
Without a doubt.
So even though Draymond is saying these things and the perception might be that KD is a little bit soft, he's still going to get a max offer from the team. So as much as your theory, I think, holds some water, it doesn't hold the entire bucket full of water, because I don't think ultimately that really matters.
Right. I'm just saying they ain't going to act on it, but I'm just telling you, he's a guy that's up in the front office. He's a guy that said, hey, Boogie, come. He's a guy that said, I want KD.
Yes.
This is that dude.
He's not, like, we don't look at Klay Thompson that way.
Right.
We don't look at Klay as talking. Klay comes out, he does his thing, and then he goes about his business and lives his life.
Right. And if you have your superstar that understands that, and KD, he understands who Draymond is and understands the things that he says, he might look at this front office like, oh, I know what some of the stuff. So they had to make a point to him to say, look, we know what Draymond, but we have your back here.
All right. Let's go to some of the billions. I like that. Zip up the V-neck if you want. You got the Movember chest hair popping out there. By the way, go to 957thegame.com. Speaking of November,
yeah.
Check out the pictures. We're updating all the mustaches and goatees and everything that everyone's growing. And donate to a good cause.
Great cause.
It's the causes of, if it's keeping your mustache, then I'm in for at least $100, because your mustache is fantastic.
It's strong.
It's itching. I'm going to shave it at the end of the month. But thank you for the compliments. Very, very nice of you. Marcus in San Francisco. Thank you for the phone call, Marcus. The floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My thoughts on this whole situation is that both of these gentlemen need to grow up and need to grow up fast so we can at least have one more championship to enjoy. On Draymond's part, the first time he referred to somebody as a female dog, it caused an altercation, and he got suspended for game 6. This last time, he referred to a teammate in the same word, and it cost him a game a couple nights ago. So that's it on Draymond. Now, on Kevin Durant, I've watched him ever since he was a freshman at Texas. He's a great basketball player, great scorer, but he's one of those people that if he doesn't get the ball when he wants it, he checks out, just like Randy Moss used to check out for the Raiders when the ball wasn't coming his way.
Wow.
That's my thoughts on it.
Thank
All
you,
right, Marcus.
Marcus.
Thank you very much for the phone call. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who feel that way. My guess about Marcus is that he's a little bit older. And I think people of an older demographic will look at this situation and say, grow up. What's the problem? You're all getting paid. You're all winning. You're on top of the Western Conference. You're having a lot of success. It's early in the season. What's the problem? Doesn't seem like there's any women involved or money involved. It's really just a matter of, you know, free agency and who's getting the ball on the court at a certain time. A lot of people would look at this and say, grow up. The problem is that this is the culture now. And we've talked about this time and time again here. How basketball players are brought up through AAU. You see everything that's taking place in the courts right now. All the guys who are funneling money from sneaker companies to players to get them to go to certain schools. Everybody's dirty. From day one, imagine being an 11-year-old and everyone's trying to tell you how great you are. Everyone's trying to give you something. Everyone's trying to put you on the pedestal. At what point are you going to harden up? Right? Like, at what point are you going to develop that edge? You're coddled.
That's why my point is that Steve Kerr has to do a better job, Dibs. It's because you know it, I know it. There's certain Randy Moss, for instance, here. What happened here? What happened when he went to New England? Different guy, different player. Why? Because Belichick wouldn't allow it. No matter who goes there, Corey Dillon played with him in Cincinnati. All the things that the guy was. People said he couldn't play. Wasn't coachable. Goes to New England, has an all-star thing. Guys that don't want to confide with him. You saw big Albert Haynesworth go play for Belichick. What happened? Kid Butt wouldn't get it done. Couldn't handle it. He was ran out of there. Certain times you have to have a head coach that understands the importance and when he has to know when to push them and know when to get on guys and make sure they hold them accountable. You know what you have. You know what you signed up for. People that go play with LeBron, you know who he is. You know what you're signing up for. Certain things and certain players, you know what you're getting into. Certain coaches, certain organizations.
Right, but how are you supposed to get tougher? Because these guys will get second, third, fourth, fifth chances. They know that no matter how they act, they're going to get a max deal somewhere.
And he just did get tougher on Draymond Green, and that's why he got the suspension, because Steve Kerr he stepped in and said enough's enough. Draymond suspended, and today they try to rebuild the relationship. But what more Kerr could have done.
Did they do that because they wanted to cater to a superstar, a bigger superstar than the other? Is that why they made that suspension? So that's the thing that I'm saying. Certain things, in certain situations, why not suspend both guys?
You're also recruiting them.
I get that. But is it worth you compromising to dance with the devil?
Draymond crossed the line with the language he used, so that's why you can justify this.
They're all opening a new stadium too. This is about money. This is about billions.
I get that, guys, but at certain times you got to understand you can't compromise the whole bunch, because when a guy's sitting on a bench and pounds his chest, and which we know KD's, I love him, superstar, but you can't do certain things.
All right, Mark Spears is at the airport. He's going to join us next. Spoke to the players, has some insight into what they're all thinking heading into tonight's game against Houston. That plus more calls. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Tensions are running high in the Warriors locker room. Tonight, Draymond returns to the court as KD and the Warriors face James Harden and the Rockets.
Off the screen, Durant for three. He's got it left side. Draymond Green with that high screen.
Coverage starts at 3:30. Tip off at 5. The only place to hear Warriors basketball. 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7. The Game.
Yeah. All right, let's get right to business. Mark Spears from ESPN's The Undefeated joining Joe Lowendibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, a tremendous piece up on The Undefeated this morning about the situation brewing between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. You've spoken to players on the Warriors as they get set to play Houston tonight. Is this situation, in your opinion, going to get better before it gets worse?
Well, they're going to try to make it better. I wish I was a fly on the airplane last night to kind of see how everybody interacted. You know, one player in particular told me he's going to do everything in his power to make sure he gets those guys back together. Obviously, a lot of tough words, harsh words were said that may be difficult to get over. But, you know, you're talking about two guys who are friends. Perhaps there was an apology last night. But one other player told me, he's like, man, they're going to be brothers again tomorrow. So whether tomorrow happens, I don't know if it's tomorrow, but a lot of the players I talked to did think it was fixable.
What role does Steph Curry play in all this? He's injured, yet he's making the trip. Is it really seen internally that he's the one guy who can really bring them together the best?
Well, I think they got several guys. You got a team full of veterans. You know, Steph can bridge that gap in a nice way. Iguodala could do it straight, no chaser. You know, Boogie could do it straight, no chaser. Clay stepped up and said some things. Sean Livingston's a bigger leader than probably he gets credit for. So the good thing about this team, we're not talking about a really, really young team. We're talking about a veteran team where guys can step up, you know, get these two guys together, get them to get it out of the way. I think a combination of all those guys are going to play a role in it.
What is Steve Kerr's role going to be in this?
Well, he's going to probably pull out his inner Phil Jackson, you know, or maybe I wonder if he even called Phil Jackson. You know, Phil dealt with a lot of this with Kobe and Shaq, and got them on the same page. I mean, ultimately, look, they got to win a championship. What happens with Durant after this season, we'll see. But you still got to do your job, and the personnel they have is a championship personnel. So even if you can't fix it, you can't bring that onto the court, man.
Right.
I was at Foothill College, when I was at the University of D.C., when I was redshirting at San Jose State, there was a lot of, no, I won't say a lot, but there were guys I didn't like.
Sure, sure.
You know, I had to play with them, you know what I mean?
No question.
I wasn't on their level, I wasn't a star, but, I mean, it's the same thing when you go to work. I'm sure I don't know if you and like Dibs.
I don't like them. Like you're right.
You know what I mean?
If you want to really peel back the curtain, none of us like each other at all.
Not a bit, Mark. Yeah.
There's a lot of hatred.
Yeah, yeah. So you still got to work together, especially if you know that both people are acknowledging, regardless of what you think about them, that you got a winning team.
Yeah.
ESPN's Mark Spears, tremendous piece on this situation up on The Undefeated this morning. He's joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Do you think what happened on the court between these two it changed the course of Kevin Durant's decision-making? For example, if he was considering coming back, if it was still up in the air, do you think maybe that could have been a decisive blow to his future with this club?
I think if it happened during the finals, yes. There's a lot of basketball to be played, a lot of hugs to be given. You know, I'm hoping that they have a hug like at the end of Boomerang, you know, when my man was running upstairs and they had a big bro hug, you know, on the rooftop in Brooklyn. And they need to have that, and it might take some time, man.
I'm with you.
You know, when friends hurt friends, it probably might cut better than a stranger. But, you know, hopefully Draymond is apologetic. They move on. But the one thing I know the front office and it's kind of like, oh, man, you know, because you know how valuable this guy is to the team. But, look, this is what? It's not even December yet. Mm. I know they're putting up Christmas ornaments and stuff like that, but we ain't even got to Thanksgiving yet. There's a lot of time left into the season to try to salvage everything and try to make Durant comfortable staying here long term.
Right. Time heals wounds. We understand that. And if what is the overall perception of Draymond Green? Of KD. What is not just the players, but how does he think people view him just all overall?
I mean, I think he's an amazing player, one of the greatest of all time. Obviously he's gone through some tough things and shown some sensitivity for understandable reasons, whether it comes to Oklahoma City or now. But I'll take him on my team every day, man. I think he's amazing on the court, does great things off the court, very smart with his money and his investment. So he's definitely a person any franchise will want, and he'll be a future Hall of Famer.
He has a fantastic piece up on ESPN's The Undefeated this morning about the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant situation from the airport on late notice. Mark Spears joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, we greatly appreciate the time. Travel safe. We look forward to doing it again soon.
Hey, shout out to my man, Soleil, man, my cab driver for getting me here. I don't know if my bag's going to make it, but I'm still dressed cool today if it doesn't. But, you know, shout out to him getting me here on time or getting me here late on time.
Beautiful.
Soleil,
if you're listening, holler at us. We'll put you in the front of the line. Mark Spears, ladies and gentlemen, travel safe, Mark.
All right, peace.
With an assist from Soleil. That's nice work.
He's on the same page now about hugging. Only thing he left out is the kiss. Told you guys, he wants him to hug too. Hug it out. Let people see you embrace. Joe, why don't we hug it out and let people know?
Let me ask you something.
Yes, please.
What's the name of the guy you knocked out that played for the Saints? Your teammate. What was his name again?
I can't remember.
Well, Mario Bates. Thank you very much. Did you and Mario Bates hug and kiss?
Great question, Joe.
We did hug.
Did you kiss?
No, he didn't want to kiss.
So you hugged, but you didn't kiss. Yet you're recommending that for everyone else. Why?
I think it's just it shows a sign of gratitude. It shows a sign of love, admiration. When you can kiss another man and feel or whatever, it's just it's showing you're comfortable and you do respect and you do love and.
So you went and saw the Freddie Mercury movie last night, and all day long it's going to be about everyone kissing. Is that what this is going to be?
Freddie kissed a lot of people now.
And he wasn't right in fights with them, I don't believe.
Right.
Nor was he angry at them.
What is wrong with you?
Nor was he mad because he didn't get the rock with 5 seconds to
he
go.
He got the rock.
You don't see me drawing the correlation. You don't see me drawing the correlation.
Okay.
You came
that's
in talking
little,
about
little,
Freddie Mercury
little,
all
okay.
morning.
No, I couldn't agree with you more.
No.
I think you're right on the money on this one, Joe.
Is he really? Does this make a turn to the wrong direction?
I don't necessarily think that you need to kiss somebody in order to get forgiveness. You know what you need to do?
The good book says reach your brother or sister with the holy kiss.
And you need to apologize. You need to say, I'm sorry. That's what he needs to do.
Is the holy kiss a metaphor for something or is it actually a physical kiss?
There was also a bad kiss in there. You know, don't forget about
Judas.
The Judas kiss.
So you
gotta watch out for that kiss.
That is
kiss of death in the Italian family,
absolutely.
The Italian culture.
Yeah,
you see that with the mafia.
Yes.
So let's just keep the kiss in the minimum. How about a nice handshake?
How about an apology? And then
just win some basketball.
The other guy apologizes, and you
when you hug,
hug it
you
out.
Get the warm and fuzz. When you hug, really know when that person's really you know that's body. It, you feel.
Are you
it.
Talking about
you
the full on embrace hug?
You know that
what you would do with your mom? Like you
yes.
put both arms.
And you
it's
know
not
it.
The grab the hand
right.
and shoulder bump.
Right. right. You know it's a way when you really committed. It's a okay. I felt it, and that it's a feeling thing. That's all. I'm trying to tell you guys how to bring this team together. My dad and my brother and I got in a fight. And it wasn't much because he was older, bigger, and stronger. And he got to me. I was crying.
Is that when you were children?
Yeah, we were children. Yeah, I was like 6 or 7. So it wasn't like, you know, because when I got older, it wouldn't have happened that way. Anywho, what my dad did, he made us hug and kiss for 10 minutes. Snots running out of we got a whipping first. He whipped
all right,
us.
So, all right, Jim Barnett in about 2 minutes, but we're getting to the bottom of this. So it's a physical fight you two had, you and your brother.
Yeah, wasn't much.
You're like 7. What is he? 9? How old? Much older is he than you?
9 or 10. So it's a little. He pushed me or something. I start crying.
Your dad made you hug and kiss.
My dad whooped us first. Got the belt.
Well, of course.
And now he made us get in the bedroom. We had to stand, and we were sitting on the bed. And he said, "You guys fight. You guys supposed to love each other. You guys are brothers. I don't want this." He made us hug. I'm crying already. It's not trying to melt. And he makes us kiss. Put our lips on each other for like 5 minutes. Hug and kiss. And made us.
The kiss lasted that long.
At least. Felt like,
why are you recommending everyone else do this?
Let them see the pain that I went through. But he made you do that. We didn't fight. We didn't fight anymore. We stopped fighting.
So that's how it worked out. You guys have never been closer ever since.
Yeah.
Buddies to the end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No more hugging.
No more locker room
out.
Division in the Neil household
shout
after
out
that.
Big Glenn. Shout out Big Glenn.
You like that story, huh?
I mean, it's...
He did that, though. It was...
You know what I love about your old man? He just... It doesn't sound like he had a lot of time for nonsense. It sounds like if nonsense came across his plate, he was going to solve that just right there. We're
right
going to let it fester.
Nope.
It was just, you know what? We're gonna solve this.
Yep.
I don't care if you like the way we solve it. I don't care if you like my approach to any of this. We're gonna put this to bed, and I'm moving on with my day. That's what I love about it.
Big Glenn
stories about your old man.
Oh yeah, hug and kiss, 5 minutes.
Oh my God,
lip on lip.
Woo. Okay. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning, and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour. Clyde Drexler, the Hall of Famer, will join us in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. Greg Papa will join us at 8:30. And for those of you who are on hold, we didn't take any calls yesterday. Today is your day. We will bring you onto the show to talk all things Warriors. But right now, Jim Barnett, former Warrior, current Warriors analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, part of the 95.7 The Game family, he's joining us, brought to you by Monterey Bay Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Visit MontereyBayCDJR.com for great special offers on new vehicles during Black Friday sales event. Happening now at 555 Auto Center Drive in Watsonville. Jim, as always, it's a pleasure. I think you know which direction we're heading. We were originally looking forward to this game because it's a rematch from the Western Conference Finals, but the Rockets have their problems, and now the Warriors have their problems. Do you get the sense that the Warriors will figure this thing out between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green?
Well, I would think so. It's something I've seen before. I've been around the league a long time. I've been on teams that have had similar situations, and I know it's different today because These players are so well paid. They're actually companies unto themselves, if you will. And it just was so different. They've got a lot more power. They're more sensitive, and it's a different era. But